The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Charles Firth.
Charles Firth is here, Ed.
We're great.
He's written a book. He's staged a hoax.
He has.
Thanks for coming in, Charles.
Thanks, Tony.
Hey, weren't you sacked from Triple M a few years ago?
Yeah, I was. That was Dobbo who got us into the office and just told us we sounded too much like we were all in a spa together.
There'll be no danger of that on this program. Yeah. We're going to help you out with ideas for your book.
Yep.
See if we can make it the next Jonestown.
Right.
Oh, excellent work.
He's waving a flag on the cover.
Is he?
What a flag.
That could be the next Jonestown. We're going to find out who else has been involved in a hoax.
Yep.
We've got Richard Marsland sex tips today. I think that's a bit gratuitous.
Right. Fistfuls.
Don't look, oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of a duet.
Hey?
With you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really want to stick around for this, Charles? Are you sure?
No, I can sing too.
All right, you're in.
Okay, let's all get into the spa. Here, get this.
It's like a poker machine. Fair dinkum. You put in, you pull the arm, nothing. Time after time, nothing.
Fairly keen to break free. That'd be Queen here at Get This Around the Nation. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depends where you're standing. It's me, Tony Martin. It's Radio's Ed Cavalier.
Hello.
It's internet phenomenon Richard Marsland.
Nice to be here, Tony.
And a beautiful, fat, fake round of applause for Charles Firth from The Chaser.
Thank you.
Ex-employee of Triple M. Probably shouldn't go into the ugliness, but why not? What happened?
Well, it was the Chaser boys.
Yep.
And they sort of, we had a few good years on Triple M. We used to do nights.
Yes.
And one day, Dobbo, who's he's your boss now.
He is our boss.
He came back. Mm. Yeah, one of the last acts he did before he went away and he tried to make it in his career. He tried to ascend Austereo's.
We've tried that. Yeah.
But then
doesn't work.
So he had to come back and run Triple M just a few months ago, I think. But one of the last texts that he did, he called us all into his office.
Yes.
And said, guys, I like your stuff. Chaz, you know, Chaz Licciardello.
Yeah, right.
I really like what you're doing, but you all sound as if you're in a spa together. So I think what he was saying was we were just a bit too gay for Triple M.
Really?
Yeah.
We like to get into the spa occasionally on the show.
That is better.
Feeling comfortable, Charles?
Oh, this is great. This is just like the old days at Triple M.
Tension's just melting off me. Ah.
You know that I think your ratings are going to be as low as ours?
We just don't read them.
No.
We read somebody else's ratings and pretend they're ours.
Take mix.
You've written this fantastic book, and it's a great concept, American Hoax. We're going to get to that. But first, you know, which one from The Chaser are you for people who might not know? You're the one who's usually in America.
Yeah, I'm the one who does the Firth from the USA.
That one.
Yeah. So I'm the one who usually almost gets killed, whereas the rest of them just get arrested. I actually have to put up with Americans who, like, earlier this year, I went and tried to get into a US military establishment dressed as a gimp, because I heard that that's what was going on down at Guantanamo Bay, and I wanted a bit of the action.
Yeah.
And so I went there, and they went, you can't come in, you know, you can't, we're not going to
let a gimp
like
in.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why. But then they put me in this arm lock, which I have never experienced before in my life, because it was absolute searing, shooting pain.
Oh, that's standard.
Yeah, right through your shoulders, like completely disabling. And then they walked away and they released me for the arm lock. Felt perfect. It actually felt better than perfect. Like I felt, oh, my.
It's therapeutic. Yeah, the other arm, please, sir.
So I did that all year, and they paid me a third of what the rest of the guys are getting.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Where'd you get your gimp costume?
I went to a shop. Actually, I went to two shops. The first one I went, hello, do you have a gimp outfit? And they went, no, we're just fancy dress.
Right.
Go as a pirate.
Yeah. So then I went to a Pets R Us shop and I got the chokers and everything like that. And I said, you know, are you sure this fits around my neck? And they said, oh, well, we can try it for you.
Right. Sort of.
And then I had to go to a sort of sex shop.
So there's no...
Just for purely for research purposes, to get the props.
You would think...
That was all.
Surely there would be a gimp costume in ABC Wardrobe. You know, one from the old Saturday show, The Natural Seven. They were always dressed as gimps.
You know what Tony Jones has on the lower half of his body.
It's just clamps, isn't it? It's just metal clamps all over
That's
him.
Why he interviews Alexander Downer all the time.
Ah,
it's the real... On the internet, you can see the below-the-desk footage.
Right?
It's fantastic. Yeah. And I remember now, look, I'm a huge fan of The Chaser.
Yeah.
But I remember in the early days, there was... You know, it was hard to tell everyone apart. You know, that always happens when you start a new comedy show.
Yeah.
But you kind of stood out by... You were giving it a bit of grunt from the beginning.
Yeah, I decided that if I shouted, then people would notice me more. Yeah. So I had the Firth character. And the Firth character always hated everything about anyone.
And he was kind of in the... It was the Firth Factor?
Yeah, the Firth Factor.
And he was in kind of khakis.
And he was into simple solutions to complex problems. That was his main thing. Everything... The solution was simple. Yeah, and that's right. And I actually had, I had khakis.
Yeah.
And I had a mo for a while.
That's good.
In the 1970 versions of The Firth Factor.
And what, are you still, you know, affiliated with, are you in America? What is the story with
you? Yeah, so I live over in America. I actually hate the rest of the Chaser team.
There we go.
Fair enough. In fact, I mean, so Julian, I don't know whether the sort of balding, unfunny guy on the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a huge falling out a couple of years ago. That's why I had to move over there.
Right.
And then, I mean, Craig, he's just moronic.
Yeah,
everything, he has to be scripted even in meetings.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really? Off an auto cue?
Off an auto cue. Everything, yeah. Chris Taylor, you know, everyone thinks he's really sexy.
Yeah.
He's actually just very,
Is he hideous in real life?
He invites people around and you have to sit in a spa.
Is that right?
To have a coffee with him.
And there was Dominic somebody. Where's he? He's not even in the show
anymore. He's not even in the show. No, he actually just writes the whole show and then everyone else looks good.
That's how it works nowadays. But you've written your own book, American Hoax. I don't know if we can get any Jonestown kind of sizzle going.
No. Well, actually, funny you should mention that because my publisher just rang me this morning and said they're scrapping this edition. So if you want to buy this edition, you've got to get it out today because tomorrow a new one is being printed and it's going to go in stores. It's only going to be about Alan Jones.
Is that right?
They've just done a find and replace using Microsoft Word. Of all the names. And now it's just completely about Alan Jones. Apparently that's the only thing you can publish a book about now.
That's right, the Alan Jones
book. Tom, when you brought your book out, what was the thing that whipped your ass in the bestsellers list that week?
Well, here's what I was constantly told by the publishers.
Yeah.
I said, how could I have sold more copies of the book? And they said, by being in Sea Change. So I was just constantly having my ass kicked by William McGuinness.
Oh, no.
So, you know.
Oh, well.
Maybe I'll just move to a small coastal town.
Yeah,
well, because
everything will be fine.
You know, the pitch that I gave to the publisher for the book was that this is going to be the Da Vinci Code meets Harry Potter, but it'll be more popular.
That's good.
I think they've printed about 75 million copies of it.
The last 40 pages is just Sudoku, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's how you do a popular book nowadays.
No, it's a great idea for a book, and the thing is, you've done something pretty risky, I reckon, which is you pick up this book and you're not quite sure, is it real? Is it true? Is he making it up? And you kind of explain the book as you're reading the book.
Yeah.
You know, if you follow the footnotes and everything, you can actually work out what you're up to.
Right.
So what you're saying is an extremely confusing book, Tony.
It's confusing at first, but then it gets into you.
Tony, don't drag others down, all right? Yeah. Yours didn't sell all that well because you weren't in Sea Change. Don't try to drag Charles down as well.
We're bringing out a new edition with 14 new spelling errors of my book, so keep an eye out for that. But then you slowly work out what it is you're up to, and you've created fake identities, basically, haven't you?
That's right. I've created five American characters, and the idea was that I would go undercover as these Americans and sort of crack open the American empire by being, you know, undercover.
White-anting
America.
What is your goal here? Is your goal to get into the New York Times bestseller list, like where there's all those books by people like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter?
Yeah, well,
right-wing types.
Every single book in America nowadays is about America. They all sell extremely well and get on the New York Times bestseller list. And so that's what I thought. I have to write a book that's just about about America.
Not bad.
Well, American flag waving on
the
front cover.
Yeah, your Uncle Sam on the front, by the looks.
Flag waving. Never enough talk of flag waving. You know, there's only one reference to flag waving in the Alan Jones book, Boytown. Sorry, Jonestown. And Boytown. It's amazing how often it gets mentioned, though.
On this program.
Well, not just in real life.
Oh, really?
Flag waving has really taken off with the general public. Let's meet the five characters that Charles Firth has phonied up.
Right.
Let's do that next on Get This. That's Evermore around the nation here at Get This
that
on
purpose.
Triple M or KOFM in Newcastle. Charles Firth, former employee of the network, sacked a couple of years ago but wormed his way back in to plug his new book, American Hoax, and what a fine read it is. I just should take care of a bit of business. Obviously, people want to know what it sounds like when John Howard falls off a cliff. That seems to be the most popular ringtone in Australia at the moment.
The Labor Party says, ah!
You've got to wait till he hits the bottom of the ravine. And we are, of course, brought to you by the Mercedes-Benz Vito. What's that?
Great holiday, Rome.
Yeah, that's it from National Lampoon's Vacation.
Holiday Rome.
From National Lampoon's Vacation. That's the way to move.
Brilliant.
The Mercedes-Benz Vito, the van of the year. Charles, let's get back to your book.
On the sides.
American Hoax, you've created five fake personas. You've decided to try and insinuate them into American culture by kind of setting up blogs for them, fake identities, Wikipedia pages. How sucked in did people get?
Completely.
Yes.
It completely worked beyond all my expectations. So I created five characters. The first one was this guy. He was a conservative economist. But I think the reason why it succeeded so well was because I just created an identity that would be totally bland and just fall into the background. No one would ever think that he was just a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Edward Maguire.
Right.
And it was just he was just the most mediocre man on earth. Right? And just very bland, right?
And what you've done, though, is you've set up a Wikipedia page for him.
Yeah.
And it's full of biographical details.
Yeah.
And links to, like, publications that he's written for.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume you've had to set up Wikipedia pages for those publications as well.
Yeah.
I mean, how much trouble have you gone to with these fake people?
Okay, well, quite a lot of trouble because I thought, well, if people look up Wikipedia, they'll want to look at other websites.
Yeah,
like, you got to actually, to check that he exists and everything.
Yeah.
I had to set up, other websites that were institutes and competitions and things like that. Right. But the great thing was, so that sounded like a lot of work, but then all the little nerds at Wikipedia, all the pedants, Googled other thing that I'd created and then added it to his Wikipedia entry.
And they were actually correcting the biographical details.
Yes.
And spelling of this fake guy.
Of this fake guy that never thought to say, check whether he existed or not.
And so what kind of, inroads did Edward Maguire, for example, make?
Well, he actually became a leading conservative commentator in America.
And were you quoted on other sites and blogs?
Oh, yeah. So he wrote lots of articles and the great response, very early on, one of the best response, and I sort of thought, this book is going to work, because somebody wrote back to him after he'd written an article and just said, "Sir, you are a true American."
There we go. Going,
yeah. It's going to work.
We cracked it.
And so he ends up writing a book, like writing a chapter in a book for a conservative thing.
Wow.
It's all rubbish. It's all complete rubbish. In fact, the way he did it was he took a left-wing article, and he's a conservative, and just put the word "not" in front of all the verbs. It's honestly true. And then he sent it in and it got published in this book.
And you've got, tell us just quickly, the other characters you invented.
Oh, well, I had a sort of copy of Edward Maguire, but not quite as good. He was my national security expert. He was Andrew O'Keefe.
Yeah, he's taken off.
Yeah. Dr. Andrew O'Keefe. And then we had the left-wing guy called Bertrand Newton.
Yes, he's been quoted all over the world.
And then we had an affable guy who thought he was really funny but just wasn't that funny at all, and he was Daryl Summers.
Right. And what about the Islamic sort of point of view?
Well, this is the thing. I had four white males. I needed a token woman. I needed a token Iraqi. I needed a Muslim. So I just combined them all into one, and it was an Iraqi Muslim, deaf, mute, blind poet.
Good tokenism.
And her name was Corinne Al Grant.
And she kicks ass in this book.
Oh, yeah, no, she wins. She wins. Yeah.
And it's amazing how, for example, if you set up a Wikipedia page, it's not long before, it's like there's these other sites, like called something or other, encyclopedia.com, that just lift all the information from Wikipedia word for word and reproduce it on their site. And this has happened with your fake characters.
Yeah, that's right. So no longer is it just Wikipedia, Edward Maguire's entries, but he's on answers.com and ask.com.
Oh, wow.
And this is great because one of those websites is owned by the New York Times. So in many ways, he's now, you know,
sanctioned
by the New York Times.
Well, we often talk about this show about how you just need a fancy name behind you. And a perfect example for me is Gerard Henderson.
Tool
who's constantly interviewed in the paper just because he works as something called the Sydney Institute. And what is the Sydney Institute?
Yeah.
It's not kind of known who funds them. He refuses to say what shadowy organisations are funding them. And he's so got his hands on the ABC now that the recent ABC New Directions in 07 programming policy was launched at the Sydney Institute.
Oh, my God.
It was actually launched there. How's that for just telling everyone who the new boss is?
Yeah, yeah, new manager.
I mean, we know who funds the ABC. We do.
We do.
What is the ABC doing at this mysterious Sydney Institute?
Does that mean I could have gone? I could have showed up and, you know, busted some rhymes?
Got the Sydney Institute show bag.
So wait a minute.
It's just a noose, I'm assuming.
But does that mean you're saying Gerard Henderson exists?
Well, I'm not sure. Ah. He's on the internet. He's in the paper.
He's not one of yours, is he, Charles? He's just a fancy schmancy. No, he is. He's actually
yours.
And I now control the ABC.
Oh, good luck to you. So the Manor Born will be back at last.
Yeah, bring back the Curiosity Show.
We've got to talk about our own Wikipedia internet phenomenon. That's Richard Marsland. That's him over there. Pushing some buttons on this show. Mm. Fine comedy writer in his own right.
You know what I love that he does? I mean, of all the millions of things I love about the way Rich works, is he's always got his hands on a couple of buttons ready. He's looking at you, but his hands are ready. So if you ask for something, bang, he's still looking you dead in the eyes. He plays the sting.
Absolutely. I play this thing like a piano. It's an extension of my body. I've got bandoleros across my body.
He's constantly, because, you know, we do a lot of work to undermine his good reputation.
We do.
With the public. And then he likes to bolster it back up again.
He does.
And I don't know if he's getting a bit full of himself. But here's what I did. I mean, I'm sure you cover the oil crisis somewhere in your book somewhere. Nowhere?
Absolutely. No. It's all about oil as well. Alan Jones. Alan Jones with a lot of oil.
Well, I asked Richard Marsland to write a script about the oil crisis and what we can do about it.
Did you?
Have a listen to what he came up with.
Richard Marsland has the answer to the world's oil crisis. It's in his pocket. Go on, reach in. He won't bite.
Richard Marsland.
He is swarthy and he likes it French ass. That's right.
Richard Marsland
is a sex machine with a 12-month warranty and a full tank of gas. And ladies, I hope you like spunk, get-go, gumption and wherewithal because
Richard Marsland
is chockers with the lot. And ready to blow. But
Richard Marsland
is not just anybody's. Despite all those stories about him turning tricks in the Triple M car park,
Richard Marsland
is a man of discernment. Unless you're, as he puts it, racked up and ready to go, don't even think about it, lady. Nor you, sir. He'll get to you later. It's true what they say about
Richard Marsland.
But sadly, very little of it is fit for broadcast. Why not discover his windswept charms, legendary appendage, and considerable panache on the syndromes for yourself? And hey, gents, having trouble finding the G-spot?
Richard Marsland
will not only show you how to get there, he'll direct you to a picturesque little spot along the way where you might like to stop for a nibble. That's because
Richard Marsland
likes it blue. Real blue. Rodney Rude Frocksack Blue.
Richard Marsland.
Is Valentino Caruso Gutenberg. Jake from Jake and the Fat Man and Stefanovic rolled into one, left to stand and set to stun.
Richard Marsland.
His nude pictorial in Men's Health was described by Alan Jones as and caused him to the flag.
Richard Marsland.
Take the plunge and mind the grill.
Richard Marsland.
In the words of
Gavin Wood,
when you cop an eyeful,
oh, it's magnificent, you're bar up.
What has that got to do with the oil crisis, Richard?
It's all true.
This is you big noting yourself for about 10 minutes. I like the Gavin Wood.
Yeah, Gavin's got to have a bit of the action too.
I might have turned some tricks in the Triple M car park.
That's what we've heard.
Good tricks.
Only with girls whose cans are icy cold.
Sorry to lower you down to our depths, yes. Charles.
Oh, dear.
We'll get the program back onto an intellectual footing.
Mm.
Why should Charles Firth have all the hoax fun?
Mm.
I'm sure people listening have staged hoaxes of their own.
Beautiful hoaxes.
Let's find out what that's all about.
Brain fall over their tone?
Are we on the radio? Is this going to air?
Might be national tone.
Have we played the Richard Marsland sketch?
I don't think so.
Play it again.
We're going to go again.
Let's have it again. That'll be next. I'll get this.
Get this.
It's absolutely disgusting. It's incomprehensible to think that they could even possibly project that sort of a position.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito.
Let's get this. Around the nation, Charles Firth from The Chaser is with us. He's got a new book, American Hoax. Mm. He lives in America, and he's wearing some fancy new fashion item.
I don't understand any of his clothes. He's from the future.
We're just a bit ahead of the curve in New York.
Yeah.
You guys?
Because you're wearing a hoodie, but it doesn't. There's no hood.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, well, there is a hood. It's a sort of...
It's a cape.
It's a cape.
You're wearing a cape.
They are in, I swear, in a year's
Capes
time.
Capes are in.
Yeah, they'll come back. No, but it's got a zip.
Zip it up. Saying, and then over your head.
Over your head. Becomes a hoodie.
Yeah.
But then when you unzip it, it falls straight
cape.
On your back.
So you can fight crime.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And if you're at a fancy dinner party, you can just put that on.
Yeah.
And then when you're out on the streets... Bang! Oh,
see, because you're wearing a hoodie as well, but look.
I'm so unfashionable.
It's like a pouch at the back of your tone.
How embarrassing. How daggy. You are so 6 weeks
hey,
ago.
Hey, Tone, what T-shirt are you wearing underneath? Please.
It's nothing. You were hoping it was a Mick Malloy T-shirt.
Yeah.
I was caught wearing a Mick Malloy T-shirt.
Oh, how embarrassing.
That's like Hale getting around with a Pace T-shirt. Check it out. I'm a huge Pace fan. What about satiny caftans? That's the thing. We're showing Charles that. He couldn't believe it. He thought that was a hoax.
It was a joke.
No, satiny caftan lounges have taken off. What was it? 9,000 more orders than they had caftans.
I'm going to take some back to New York. I'm going to try and convince them that that's the latest.
Yeah, fashion. You'll see that. It's Zach Mizrahi. He'll be wearing a satiny caftan lounger. You watch. Here's something pretty New York. Obscure. This film, Short Bus, opens today, and it's from John Cameron Mitchell, who did the film...
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Which Ed's a huge fan of.
Yeah, massive fan.
Short Bus, as you may notice, down in the corner, R18, high-level sex scenes, actual sexual activity.
Yeah, now I went to a preview screening by myself.
Hang on.
Which is always a good look.
In a trench coat.
Yeah, well, I had a hat and a jumper on.
It was
close. Everyone had caftans on. Billowy caftans.
Yes. Ideal for self-pleasuring at the cinema.
People brought a doona. When I walked in, they've done this. I hate it how they now have allocated seating in movie theaters.
I hate it.
Because Short Bus isn't going to play in the big megaplex, after the Da Vinci Code. Like, it's in the small, easily washed theaterettes, right? I was the first person there. I sat down in row G, happy. And then people filed in. By the end of it, my whole row was completely filled with people, and then there was only like three other people in other rows.
Yeah.
And the couple next to me was making out during short bus. Yes.
Now,
that's gross.
Is it embarrassing when you're at one of these films with actual sex
in
them?
Okay, don't say one of these, like I go all the time.
But but I've been to a couple of them, and it's frankly embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. It's embarrassing when the couple's kind of kissing and laughing next to you, and the woman next to me was just... Like, she just, like, popcorn was her life, man. You know, like, she, it was
how
very
blue does it get?
It's the first scene, the first second of the first scene, everyone's kind of chatting, and then it was like, blah, 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 dead silence, right, and then a bit of nervous laughing as a man tries to pleasure himself. But, like, not with his hand.
No, there's probably no more information required.
No, and there's nothing else you can say about it.
Richard Marsden's nodding along.
Is he using a Turkish grip or what?
What's a Turkish grip, Rich?
Does it involve a tuck of some description? I mean,
a tuck?
A what?
What's going on?
What do you mean a tuck, Rich?
I need a diagram.
Yeah, that's right.
No, just describe it. Let's say you were going to Turkish grip yourself on air right now. What would you do?
Well, I think it involves... Well, it's European, for starters.
Yeah, it's Turkish.
So
you said that.
It's kind of fruity. No, I think it's a bend back sort of...
what a nonsensical conversation.
Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
And then what?
And then we take it to a late night show.
Don't worry, it's in the first minute of the film. All will be revealed.
And then it's just fruit after that.
Right.
It's confronting. It's the most confronting movie I've seen since, you know, Benji the Hunted.
Mm.
I think it's an important documentary. I think everyone has to see it because it's important social and political comment.
Yeah. It's not a documentary, though, is it?
No, it's fictionalised.
But wait a minute. It says real people, real laughs, real sex.
Yeah, what happened was that they John Cameron Mitchell, he goes, all right, for three years he just followed these people around and they were actors, but they created their own characters.
He stalked them.
He stalked them with a camera and filmed them doing stuff. It's filthy. It's beautiful. It's wonderful, but it's filthy. I can't recommend it, though. I can't sit here and recommend it.
No.
Well, except David Stratton gives it 4 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was there.
Oh, David was there. Trust me, he didn't see a minute of that, all right?
He didn't.
He hardly looked up.
Too busy using the Turkish grip.
But the thing is, you can't recommend it. Like, I remember I went on a first date with someone this year, and she said, what's your favourite film? And I said, With Nail and I or Happiness, right? And she said, I'll get out Happiness.
Oh, no. And there was no second date, I'd be guessing.
I never heard from her again.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and recommend it, but, how do we get onto this?
I don't know.
I've got music to play.
Have you? What have you got?
I've forgotten. Rich, guitars.
Yeah.
Heaps of guitars.
Drums, military.
And a man on the Turkish grip. 2, 3, 4.
All right, that's King of the Mountain. Sure, let's go straight up there. Do it. Talkback Mountain, where the big issues are decided. Charles Firth from The Chaser is the author of American Hoax, an excellent new book where he creates fictional identities and lets them loose into the zeitgeist.
One of them could get elected Congress or something eventually.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. In fact, actually, the first chapter of this book is about Donald Rumsfeld, because I went along to a Donald Rumsfeld press conference. And it was criticising Donald Rumsfeld. He resigned this morning, I think, as a result of my book.
Take some credit.
He started high, too.
Yeah, that's
he's
right.
Top of the tree. Now, Arnie got back in. Arnie got back in, governor of California.
Yeah.
Do you hear much Arnie? Because you're on the East Coast. Do you hear much Arnie in New York?
No, just the absurd comments.
And trying to buy up, because that pumping iron, he tried to buy up every printer that
did. Not going
to
happen.
He keeps ringing my wife and asking her for sex.
Really? Oh, wow.
But I think that happens to every woman in America.
It's an automated recording. It just goes through each different number.
I would like to have sex with, make sex with you.
Dial 3 for Turkish grip. But so, okay, that's going on. Arnie is back. I mean, he should have bought up every copy of Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is the latest? Was that dodgy that Saddam Hussein was sentenced to death just a couple of days before the election? Is that a conspiracy?
No, not at all.
No?
Complete coincidence.
Amazing, that.
Didn't really swing things, though.
No, it didn't really.
Maybe they could hang him twice.
There you go.
But it's really weird because he should be shot. Mm. He shouldn't be hung.
No. Mm. It's too good for him.
Yeah, it's too good for him.
Sorry, we just turned into the John Laws program. I'm going to be reading the Ballad of Judge Roy Bean in a few moments.
Maybe they could hang him and then shoot him.
Yeah. Ah, better TV.
Yeah.
Here's what they're doing in Wilmington, Delaware. A sex offender with a history of exposing himself has been ordered by a judge to wear a T-shirt proclaiming, "I am a sex offender."
Is that all, though?
That's all. That's all it says.
That's actually the latest trend in
this. Oh, isn't it? Yeah. Cool.
Wear it with a hoodie.
And how, you know, is that enforced? Would there be someone there when he gets up in the morning to make sure he's got the shirt on?
Because I thought, wouldn't it get really smelly after a while? Like, for 4 years or something?
That's part of the punishment. Yeah. If he didn't wear it, could someone else wear, "I'm with a sex offender"?
I'm just a sex offender.
Walk around all day?
Yeah, actually, probably increase your chances of picking up, wouldn't it?
Or maybe you could have...
Yeah, kinky.
Or I heart sex offender.
There we go.
They might allow him to sort of, you know, maximise.
Jazz it up a tad.
That's not a hoax. We need hoaxes today.
Cody, I think that I'm with a sex offender with the arrow T-shirt. Yeah. I'd be really surprised if we don't see one of those out and about now.
Yeah. Mm. That'll be a prize on this segment.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, here's what the prize is. It's not really a prize. It's our new album, Illegal Download.
Yeah. We should give some sizzle to what's on it, Tone.
We've gone to so much trouble, made this album, and then we're just giving it away to people who get onto Talkback Mountain or write in and suck up to us, like Jessica, who's written in to point out a spelling mistake in my book.
Oh!
And I'm on the same publishing label as you, Charles, so I hope you've been through that with
a we've got the same publisher.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realised, actually, the front cover says American Hawks.
Oh, I'm sure
that'll
be fine. They'll get rid of that by the third or fourth printing. So, yes, we're giving away Illegal Download. There's a bit of Ross Noble on there.
There's Grace Angus Sampson's on here, Grant Spatchcock Gourmet Pizza.
Because we're not selling it, we've been able to get a standard of guests that you might not get.
This is very true.
If it was some, you know, marketing exercise.
Yep.
So we've got Kevin Smith is on there.
Kevin Smith's on there.
Grant Spatchcock of Grant Spatchcock Gourmet Pizza is on there.
Scott Edgar from Tripod's on there.
And then at the end, there's, just to be really self-indulgent, there's a story from my book in talking book form. Have you done a talking book, Charles?
Oh, no, that's what I should do. Yeah. I should turn this into a talking book.
And who would do, like, all the characters? Would you get different people to...
Oh, no, I can do them all.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Man of a thousand.
Sweet.
Hoaxes. Now, obviously, this wouldn't be the first hoax you've been involved in. I mean, the Chaser would have perpetrated...
Can I jump in? Because I went to Sydney Uni, and I was there just after, a little bit after you guys had left, the Chaser guys had left.
Yep.
And they were a bit fabled around town, especially a union board... kind of student, you know, union, governing, whatever, election, a campaign that you guys ran, which was kind of like a Bob Roberts.
Yeah, that's right. We ran a huge presidential-style campaign for this pissy little union board. And we got him out, and he couldn't play the guitar or anything, but our candidate, his name was Nick Purtell, we got him playing the guitar, and we'd have to put on a CD and he'd come out and make, really speeches. And we actually would hold massive fake rallies
with
hundreds of people and then march them not only around, through all the bars and everything like that, but through lectures.
That's right.
It was a sort of popular uprising.
And because it's kind of snowballed, I think, out of control since you guys have left, about how you got a boat and about how one day there was a flatback truck driving through ovals and stuff.
Oh, yeah, no.
That was all true?
No, that's all true. No,
you had a flotilla?
Well, yeah, sort of.
It was jet ski?
It was actually just my Suzuki hatch.
Oh, there we go. But there was also not with the human interest billboards, was it? And it was shirtless. There was a man shirtless, and it said, homosexuals vote for me. And then there was another one where it was just a guy in a wig and it said, women vote for me. And on and on, offensive posts like that, on and on.
Charles looks confused.
Was that part of your action? Because this has been tacked onto your legacy.
Right, no, because what actually happened is we were running shit sheets against our own candidate.
Oh.
So he was claiming that he was in a sex scandal. It was a three-in-a-bed sex scandal. And we got all these photos. And it was actually very funny because we didn't actually know two women at the time.
So
the weirdest experience of my life was knocking on the door of this woman I hardly knew and said, "Hi, can I put my candidate in bed naked with you? And do you have a friend?"
Good technique.
Yeah. It was good. And so we put around all these shit sheets saying that, he had been caught in a sex scandal. And people were believing it. People were going, "Oh, mate, I heard about the sex scandal. Don't worry, I'm still going to vote for you." But then it got very serious because just in the lead up, like the day or two before the election, somebody put out some real, like, horrible sheets saying that, basically it said, Asians out, vote one, goodness. Nick Purtell for our candidate.
Right.
And it was like this, it all turned horrible.
Oh, okay.
And they were trying to make out that we were actually...
Suddenly it wasn't fun anymore
and everyone... sort of believed that we'd put it out because they put it in the right style and everything.
Right,
like
font.
Yeah, it was the font.
I blame Times New Roman.
Yeah.
I accidentally started a hoax once.
Oh, yes, Tone.
We just mentioned on air, on Triple M, way back in the early 90s, on our breakfast show in Melbourne, that Billy Pennell, who's a rock guru.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to describe, how would you describe what Billy Pennell looks like? It's hard to say, but he certainly wouldn't be in TISM. Let's just say that.
Right, there we go, yep.
And we just, as a throwaway comment, mentioned that he was the saxophone player in TISM. And it caught on for about 10 years. Billy Pennell could not go anywhere.
Oh, I thought he was the saxophone player in TISM.
I don't think he plays the sax.
Yeah, right.
And he's been to TISM gigs. And oh, like, and TISM so gigs. People will be going, hang on a second, wait, he's going to go backstage soon. And then one time Billy would, like, disappear. Like, just as the band were about to come on, he'd sort of nick out to the car park, sort of undoing his shirt.
Yeah, great.
So for years, he was getting, like, action from TISM groupies.
Is that right?
Wow. I think he had his own balaclava for a while. But so that was an accidental hoax. Yeah, have you perpetrated any, Ed?
Oh, my career?
Oh, this show. Yeah. Ed claimed he could panel a radio show. That turned out to be lies.
Thus far.
Mr. Marsland?
Oh, well, I'm not sure if this counts, but I had to do a public speaking thing and for these really nice people, and I didn't want to do it, and my birthday was a couple of days before, so I said, listen, I can't do it. It's my birthday, and, you know, I can't do it. But they were so nice about it.
This week?
I know.
That is a hoax.
Rich, that says what a nice guy you are. That's the worst thing you've ever done.
But they were really nice about it.
Yeah. I lied about my age by 2 days.
Oh, I'm rich. I cast the out.
Oh, but it was just very awkward because then when I actually, you know, caved and said, yeah, I'll do it because they're so nice, you know, they're so nice to me. Yeah. I went and did it and they brought out a birthday cake and a present and I acted as if it was my birthday and it was such a big deal that I'd come down.
Did you tell him? No, that's a bad... The birthday one can blow up. Mick Malloy, his standard excuse for getting out of things is, oh, it's Mum's birthday. And I remember one year I'm going, this is her third birthday since May. Mick. How can that happen? So, okay, these are kind of really down the shallow end. They're not up to this.
It's one...
There's no book. You're not going to get... Exactly. There's not going to be this Richard Marsland birthday hoax. No. You're not going to see that.
It's 133353. Give us a call. Which hoax have you perpetrated?
Yes.
And is it up to the standard of one Charles Firth? He already got rid of Rumsfeld this morning.
Yeah.
Who knows what he would have done by this afternoon?
What have you done? Give us a call. Get a free album. 133353. That's Gwen Stefani here at Get This Around the Nation. Charles Firth is with us, the author of an excellent new book and concept, American Hoax. Mm. That's in the shops now, but can our listeners out-hoax him, Ed Cavalier?
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, very good. Talk us through your hoax.
Okay, I was about 12 or 13 and I wanted a day off from school, so I pretended that I had a really bad stomach ache and really tried to put it on because my mum's a nurse, so I had to put it on pretty strong.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I ended up at the doctor's and he said, oh, yes, you look pretty bad. And I ended up in hospital and I had to have my appendix out.
Oh, wow. But it was all worth it though, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I got a few days off.
Yeah.
But it just escalated, got to the point it was just, it escalated so high that I just couldn't go back, so I had to just run with it.
So tell me something, so you felt fine and then you started saying that you felt sick?
I just kept saying that I had a really sore stomach and I was sort of, and I ended up...
Is that what you actually did? Oh, because that wasn't very convincing.
Oh, it was a little bit more than that.
Oh, right.
Well, I guess that's a hoax. I don't know if there's a book in it.
Yeah, no, there's an album in it for you.
Dan, the appendix, it's not really necessary, is it? Well, what is it? It's just a design fault, really, isn't it?
Is it?
What's it doing there? Do you know, Charles, you've been to university?
It's for when we used to eat seeds a lot. And that would digest the seeds, but it now no longer works. Oh, yeah. I know lots of things.
Yeah? Well, what's something else you know?
Oh, that's it. Oh, damn. PB.
The symbol for lead.
I'll tell you, that's how Kerry Packer, you know that Kerry Packer's kidney when he was live?
Yeah, yeah.
He was just faking it. That's how he got the kidney from his helicopter pilot. He just pretended that he had a sore kidney.
And then he just needed a spare.
Yeah, and his helicopter pilot, oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a stir.
Yeah. Give us your kidney.
It's all good fun.
Thank you, Rebecca. Hello, Rob.
G'day, Tone. Yeah, we were out camping one night down by our lake's entrance, and we got these garbage bags and put Jiffy Firelighters under them, lit them up, and off they went into the sky, and we all had a good laugh about it. It was good fun, and went home, whatnot. The next week, our friend came down from Bairnsdale, and he had the paper, and in the front page, there were 5 eyewitness accounts from all around the lake of these UFO sightings.
That's fantastic.
And were they good photos?
No, they didn't show any photos because all the accounts were all the same. The lights mysteriously got to a certain point in the sky and then just vanished. Oh.
And did anyone claim that they've been probed by these UFOs?
No, not that I'm aware of.
It's been a long time since there was a really good convincing UFO photo.
It's so true.
Because when you're a kid, there was ones where the headline may as well have just been "Man throws paper plane through car park." You know, plate hurled across room. What about that one of the Loch Ness monster? That like for 50 years, yeah,
that
people
was the
thought.
Proof.
And I remember just looking at it recently. And it's just like a hand. Yeah. It's just a hand sticking out of a puddle. And you're going, well, if that's the Loch Ness Monster, there, look at those waves. They must be like 20 feet tall. It's just the least convincing photo ever.
Yeah, no one's believing that. No. But well done, sir. You get an album. Well, well done. Hello, Nims.
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
Really good, sir. Talk us through your hopes.
Well, I'm actually an only child, and I'm always late for uni.
Yep.
Like, I can never get there before 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
Fair enough.
And one time my teacher sort of went and pulled me up and sort of went, all right, Nims, what's going on? You're here late every single day. Mm. And quick as a flash, I just went and said, we've only got one car. My mum is really sick and I always have to drop my little brother at school every morning.
That's nice.
Oh, okay, and that's the hugs.
And did they ever bust you? And did they ever bust you?
No, they were actually quite nice and accommodating to me afterwards. Like, I could rock up about 15 minutes before the class ended.
Well, well done. And not costing yourself any education, which is good.
Apparently not.
The sick relative card.
Oh, I used to go, Nims, the best one is if you're ever going to fail at university, I was really close to failing twice, and I just busted out a sexuality crisis. They you can say what you want. Roll into the counsellor's office, say that you're starting to find your mates hot, and they will sign anything you want.
I've also failed on attendance once. So
no,
I
never
went...
let that happen. Oh, sorry, what did you do?
So I decided to sneak into the office and steal the roll.
Yeah!
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now we're talking. Yeah. When hoaxes turn into theft, good luck, sir. Hello, John.
G'day, guys.
What's talk us through your hoax.
There's a few of us up playing golf at Marimbula, and we went out for dinner that night. There's about 30 of us, and the local paper guy came past, and we told him we were all lighthouse keepers at a annual convention.
And what did he say?
Well, he took our photo.
Yeah.
And was in the local for the next week, and we even told him that one of us came from Meekatharra in WA.
Yeah, and any luck?
Well, Meekatharra is 500 kilometres inland.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's a very tall lighthouse.
The loneliest lighthouse keeper in the world.
And to cap it off, we're up there the following year. Restaurant the same place, the same photographer came up. We got our photo in again for the second year.
Fantastic. Oh, nice. Local heroes.
Local heroes.
Mate,
lighting
good.
The way. Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone.
That's a fantastic selection of hoaxes. I don't think any of them top this book, though. It's definitely in the shops, isn't it, Charles? That's not just a hoax.
Oh, no, it's the best book ever written.
It surely is. That's what it says on the back.
Yeah.
It says in the front, listen to this, Ed.
Yeah.
Charles Firth is, according to Wikipedia, the greatest genius in the history of humanity. Yeah.
Look it up. It's there.
It's true. It's really there. And all your characters that you've invented who have Wikipedia pages, I mean, now that we've said this on air, will those pages be taken down? Or
No. Well, they've just got a little line saying this is actually a fictional character.
Oh.
So the pedants have got there, but you can still see it.
And don't you have your own website where people can see all the evidence?
AmericanHoax.com.
Right.
All right. That's free. Go along. Then saves you having to buy the book.
There
you go. That's fantastic.
Don't buy the book. Steal it. That's a great hoax.
And, of course, The Chasers War on Everything is now out on
big ass show.
On DVD.
Two DVD.
And we've got a Chaser Annual as well.
Oh, so much gear.
What's it called this year?
It's called Burka's Backyard.
There it is.
Hey.
That's in the shops now. Thanks for coming in, Charles.
And thanks to everyone who called up.
Yep.
Stay on the line, everybody, so you'll get a copy of Illegal Download. Our key phrase today was apparently something about a Turkish grip.
Hey, apologies.
Who to?
Apologies to those, namely my flatmate, who wanted to hear our duet. We're going to sizzle it for tomorrow.
That's happening tomorrow with Peter Rosethorn. All thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Vito.